to introduce our first speaker, Jen M.
I'm an out of name Jen.
Hi, Jen.
I guess I have to go first, and kind of wanted to go second, but I'm really grateful and honored and privileged to have been asked to speak at this meeting. This meeting's meant a lot to me in my recovery, and it was the first time I felt. I was 16 when I got clean, and I did not know that you could have fun, you know, and not do drugs and not be high, and this is the first time I felt it. You know, this is the first time I felt like I belonged somewhere. It was the first time I felt like, you know, I got the message. I got hope from this meeting. I think it was the first time that I had felt that. I was trying to think about what I wanted to talk about last night, because I'm actually surprised I remembered my name, but everything changed today when I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about. I was thinking about sharing my story, and I'll probably share a little bit about how I felt, but I don't think it's really important. You know, I was like so concerned about how I was going to look and what people were going to think about me and after I shared and all that self-centered bullshit. So, you know, I realized today after attending a few of our meetings that, you know, we're all here. I'm a part of a bigger whole, and that's something that I definitely have gotten out of this program. So I guess I was asked to speak at this meeting because I was 16 when I got clean. So I guess I was a youth in recovery. Am a youth in recovery. At the time, you know, when I came in here, I felt different. I felt separate. I felt like people were judging me, and that I didn't use long enough. I wasn't old enough. I wasn't an addict. People would come up to me and say, you're so lucky you got clean when you did. You're so lucky that you don't have to go through the pain of addiction, the pain that I went through. And I was in pain. I mean, there's no way that I would stop using and come into meetings and try to get clean if I didn't feel that pain, if I didn't hit that bottom. And when I was out there, this woman that I worked with, people saw it. I had no idea. She looked at me one day, and she looked in my eyes, and she said, you know, Jen, I don't see anything there. Like, I don't see anything left, you know? She was like, what's wrong with you? People kept asking me, what's wrong with you? I thought that drugs were my answer. I thought that it was the way out. I thought that it was the cure, you know, to the way I was feeling, because I never felt whole, ever. I remember, you know, and this isn't, like, at the time I thought this, but I had to have been like 4 or 5, and this little girl was like so happy because she had this stamp, and she was stamping things, and I thought that this was what was making her happy, and I was not happy. I don't know what was wrong with me. I always felt like I was not complete, you know, like I was just missing something, and I just wanted anything to make me feel happy, so I stole it from her, you know, and I was 4 or 5, and I thought this was going to make me happy. This was going to fix it. You know, it was the answer. And I think that since then and until even today, you know, it's I want something that's going to fix me now. You know, it's instant gratification. It's something to fill that void, something to make me feel like I'm whole. And I've felt whole in this program, you know. And we talk about our message is hope. The promise of freedom from active addiction. I have choices today. I did not have choices when I was using. My choice was to use, to find more, or to feel sick, you know, and I could not stand to be by myself. And at the end, I couldn't make my head stop, you know. I was trying to do more and more, and I was still going, and I still was thinking and feeling. And I remember I had this psychotic breakdown, and I wedged myself between, I don't even know where I was, like whose house I was at, but I wedged myself between these kitchen cabinets and the refrigerator, and I was smashing my head against the refrigerator to make it stop, you know, and I did not know what my problem was. and I told myself I was never going to use again. You know, like I realized later on, maybe it was the drugs. And I woke up and I got high, because that's what I did every day. And I thought that if I didn't, that, I mean, what would happen to me, you know? I got taken to a meeting about 8 months before I wound up surrendering to the program. And I thought I was going for moral support. I thought that this girl needed my help, you know, for me to be her friend and go to this meeting with her, and I had no idea what was going on. And it turns out she had a year clean. She had a year clean. She took me to a meeting. She thought I needed help. I had no idea. I mean, I thought that that was the only reason that I was there. I continued to use. I lost all my friends. I remember my best friend, I couldn't hang out with her anymore because she made me feel bad about my using, you know? And I didn't like feeling bad about my using. So I started hanging out with people that were using more than me so I could say, well, at least I didn't do this, at least I didn't do that, and to try to make myself feel better. And, you know, the last time I talked to her, I hadn't talked to her in a couple years, and I grabbed her. I saw her at school, and we skipped a class, and I realized I couldn't stop using. You know, I had this realization. I went to cop some coke, and there was two other people in the car, and I wanted to do it right then, you know, and someone had it, someone else had it, you know, and I wanted to kick the living shit out of her, and I wanted it so bad, and I wanted it now, you know, and I got it, and I got my way, and you know, it's like that started me thinking, like, maybe, you know, that I felt it. Like, I knew that that was just not me, you know? That just wasn't me. I started feeling it. A little while went by. I grabbed my best friend that I hadn't talked to in a couple years, she probably wasn't my best friend at the time anymore, but I told her, I said, you know, I was crying. For the first time, I realized, you know, I couldn't stop using. And she told me that if she ever finds out that I was doing this shit again, she's going to call my parents and they were going to check me into rehab. So I never talked to her again. not until after I got clean. But, you know, a few months went by and I had no friends left. I was so lonely. I was just using by myself. I thought, you know, if I switched drugs, then that was the cure. I thought that, you know, I just thought that everyone else was the problem. I just wanted to feel okay. And my best using friend, this is why I had no friends left, because she wound up getting clean. And this wasn't the girl that took me to my first meeting, but she wound up getting clean and caught for something that we both had done. And I never got caught for anything because my parents were in total denial. Well, my mom was. My dad wanted me to buy him drugs, so it didn't really matter. So I decided that I knew where to go. I had gone to a meeting 8 months before. I didn't think I needed it, but now, you know, I was willing to give it a try because you know, what this girl had said to me at work, that she thought that I looked like I was dead inside. I felt that way. And so I went to a meeting. I just wanted to stop hurting. I didn't really want to stop using because I still thought that, you know, drugs were my best friend, but they were, like, turning on me because how come I felt so horrible. So I went to that meeting and I saw people. It was a younger people's meeting, and I saw people my age, and they were having fun and smiling and talking to each other, and I don't think anyone talked to me. And but you know, whatever, I felt like shit. And I don't know if I think I picked up a couple more times after that. But I wound up getting clean around that time. Things are pretty blurry, but my clean day is December 23rd, 1994, and the only reason I say that is because I was 16 when I got clean, and I'm 24, you know, and when I saw people that put together clean time that got clean when they were that age and they stayed clean, it gave me a lot of hope, you know, and that's why this meeting means so much to me, because I came here. This room, it was packed. I mean, it was packed. These people that were my age and wanted to be clean, and I felt the power of the program. You know, I felt it, you know, this guy, he spoke, and he said, you know, when people came up to him and told him that he was so lucky that he got to be clean when he was his age, and then the guy told him, well, you were lucky that you got to use as long as you did. And I really held on to that for a long time, because I had a big resentment, you know, and what I was doing was I was identifying out, you know, because I compared out when I got here, you know. I did it to myself, and I thought everyone else was judging me, but it was me judging me, you know, and I didn't have any self-worth, no self-confidence. I hated myself, you know, and I saw people recovering, you know, and I wanted that, and I chased it. I really chased it. At first, I didn't really know what was going on. I mean, I had no idea. I came to my first meeting. I thought there was one a week, so I went back there the next week. I think that's when I used in between that week. And then I found out that there were more meetings than just that one meeting, you know? And this one girl that I had gone to high school with kept coming up to me and saying, did you get a sponsor? I said, I don't know what a sponsor is. I had no idea what a sponsor was. No one sat there and was like, this is what a sponsor is, this is what you need to do. People were asking me these questions. I did not know the answer. I did not know which way was up or down. And so I kept saying no, and she kept asking me that question, you know? And literally it went on for weeks. And then finally she asked me that question, and I said, no, why don't you just be my sponsor? And she was like, okay. So I had a sponsor. I still didn't know what to do with her. I had no idea what to do with her. I didn't know you were supposed to call them. And I wound up, she suggested to me that I got women's phone numbers at meetings. So that's what I did, you know. I just really just wanted to stop hurting. And I was pretty much, I feel like my first couple years I was just totally carried, you know, like looking back I can see that, because I really don't know how I stayed clean. I just did not want to feel the way I was feeling. And I remember I had about 3 months, and I was, and my best using friend had gotten clean a couple months before me, so we were hanging out again, and I was over at her house, and I think I had about 3 months, and her mom looked at me and she said, Jen, the whole time I've known you, and I went over there every day, we lived in the same apartment building, the whole time I've known you, I've never seen you smile. And she said, you're smiling right now. And it was like, I don't know, I mean, that is like, for me, that is this program working in my life, you know. It was working, I had no idea how. I was just kind of coasting, you know, and not really knowing what to do next. But I got these women's phone numbers, and one day, I really had just a really huge craving, and I really wanted to use, and I called two women out of this, the three numbers that I got, and one of them, I left two messages, and one of them called me back, and we talked, and she wound up being my sponsor that I actually started working steps with, and I still had no idea what steps were, and but you know, I asked her to be my sponsor, and I think the reason I picked her was because she talked a lot, and she would not let me get a word in edgewise, and I had a hard time talking to people, and until I had about 3 or 4 months clean, I could barely put a sentence together, so it was like a good match, and I would call her, and I wouldn't have to talk at all, and finally, you know, we were on the phone, and she was talking, and I interrupted her for like the first time, and I said, what are steps, you know, I want to work these steps. I kept hearing about the steps are the program, you know, of Narcotics Anonymous, the fellowship, our meetings, all of this other stuff, they're just luxury, you know, they're gifts that we get, but they're not the program, so I started, you know, she gave me a basic text, and actually it's funny, I was, I opened my basic text, and I was looking at the cover, and my home group now is the Good Stuff Beginners group in Bethesda on Friday nights, and I open up the cover and it says good stuff in my basic text. That was my first NA meeting, and you know, it's like things like that is just, I mean, I'm so grateful. She gave me this book. I had no idea what the meeting was called, but you know, turns out that was the meeting, and I don't think I ever saw her there, but it doesn't matter. She told me to read the first step out of our blue book, and I don't remember if I read it more than one time or if I even read it the whole way through. But I told her I was done, you know, because I admitted that I was powerless over my addiction. At that time, I thought it said we're powerless over drugs, because it didn't make the connection in my head that addiction was anything that I did to make me feel better, and that's why I'm an addict, you know? And it wasn't any particular drug, and it was just another way that I couldn't relate out, you know? And so we met and did my first step, and basically 2 and 3 went that way also. I totally just, you know, I felt like I was in school. That's what I did at school, you know? I cheated. I didn't show up. I didn't read anything. And so, you know, I was basically treating it like it was school. My fourth step was everyone who ever wronged me. And I shared that with my sponsor. And, you know, she loved me anyway. And she wound up using a month later. And luckily, you know, looking back, I can see my higher power working in my life, even though I didn't believe in one, since day one, pretty much. And I had met this woman that I had been talking to, and hadn't really been talking to my sponsor that much. And I asked her to be my sponsor, and she really worked my ass on through the steps. I told her I'd just finished my fifth step, so then I was on 6, and I was there for about 2 years. And everything that I'd missed in 1 through 5, basically, I got in those 2 years when I was on 6, because I basically started, you know, 1 and really got a strong foundation in NA. I was very fortunate. I had met a group of people that were pretty, you know, my age, a year or two younger, a year or two older. But we were all pretty much the same age, and we were really into NA, and we were really into going to meetings. I went to a meeting every single day after I realized that there are more meetings than once a week for 3 or 4 years, and I doubled up sometimes on the weekends we would go to more meetings. We were, like, really tight, and we came to conventions, we came to this meeting. It was just, you know, I had friends, and I had a network, and my sponsor told me that a network was a net that works, you know. I could fall back on my network, and I could stay clean. And I don't talk to any of those people today. I don't see them. I don't know if anyone's still clean or not, but I hold them in a very special place in my heart, and everything that has happened in my recovery, I hold the same way. And I had a really hard time letting people go, and you know, people come into our lives for reasons and they leave our lives for reasons, and I learned that in my recovery. So that sponsor moved to New York. Well, before that happened, I was calling her every day, and I was telling her to move me off the 6th step. And I didn't care where she moved me, 1 through 5, 7 through whatever. I just wanted off the 6th step. And then finally, like, this miraculous thing happened to me where I wasn't calling her every day, begging her to take me off the step. I was actually came to this place of acceptance, you know. And I will never forget that, because I was okay with me for the first time in my whole entire life, and I owe it all to NA. And I'm not saying that I'm okay with me all the time now, because it's a big lie, but you know, it's a lot better, and I'm definitely not the same person I was when I got here. And they told me that the same addict will use, and I'm not the same addict. I can still pick up, and it's a choice, you know, and I have choices today, and I did not have a choice when I got here. Or before I got here, and I have a choice today, and a freedom that I never knew was possible, and relationships in my life, and I have the best relationship with my mom today. I never thought that was going to be possible, ever. You know, it says in the first step that reservations will rob us of all this program has, of the good things the program has to offer, and all of the things that I I didn't know what that meant, and I didn't know what a reservation was either. But all these things started happening that I did have as reservations, and I didn't pick up. You know, I've gone through a lot in recovery, and basically everyone goes through a lot in recovery because life happens, you know, and that's what I was running from the whole time I was using. A lot of times in recovery when I tried to use other things, people, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. I was running away from life. I was watching people pass me by, and I wasn't going anywhere. And today, I'm walking through that fear, you know. The third step, it has this whole paragraph at the end of the third step that we're going to lose all the fear, the hopelessness, all these things. That's what I want. And I have that today, you know. Maybe not every day, but I never thought that was possible. This program saved my life, and I'm very grateful. I was at the History of NA meeting today, and it was amazing, you know. And we only keep what we have by giving it away. And these people were talking about Jimmy Kay and how he was their hero and how they saved his life. And I have my own heroes in this program, you know. People that have sponsored me, my sponsees, you know. I have a sponsee right now, and she saved my life more than I can even tell her. I mean, she doesn't believe me, you know. I tell her that all the time. You know, sometimes I feel like she sponsors me. I mean, the people that I meet in this program, they have saved my life, and I'm just really grateful. I'm really grateful to be here. I hope I made some sort of sense, and thanks for letting me share.
All right, thanks. And Amy has volunteered to be the second speaker. April, I'm sorry, you did say April. All right, I'll just get out of the way and you can take the microphone.
Is that cool? Can you hear me? My name's April, I'm an addict.
Hi, April.
I was at the last minute was asked to share this meeting. I'm really nervous. I've never spoke at a convention before. And I don't know, it was kind of crazy because I was down there with a friend of mine and a sponsee. And she was going to give back her basic text because of the fact that she already had one. And the lady was like, well, you could go out there and give it to someone else. And the lady was like, you know, we need someone. How much clean time do you have? And I was like, I have 5 years. She's like, would you want to fill in and do the youth and recovery meet? And I'm like, whoa, you know. you know, when people have asked me in the past to share meetings, I've, you know, there's my heart starts beating real fast. And I can remember at my first year anniversary, I was just so overwhelmed to be clean that I couldn't even speak. I just cried and cried like a baby. And I don't know now, it's just, I feel like, I mean, I could just like cry right now. Like, I'm so grateful to be clean. It's just the most overwhelming feeling. Like tonight, my sponsee, she has 20 days clean, and I'm really so grateful that she's in my life. Like, it allows me to like see, you know, things like back when I was new, and she didn't want to walk up with by herself today, and I was like, you know, I'll go with you. And I walked up there with her, and just like all the love and that I've gotten in this program, you know. And a lot of times, you know, that old me will say, you know, I don't want to give it back, you know what I mean? And I've taken so much from this program, it's like about time that, you know, I say, hey, you know, I can start giving it back to people. And that feels really good. My life's been really crazy in the past year. Just a lot has been going on. I've 6 months ago, I got out of a four-year relationship that I got into when I had a year clean, and I was engaged. And it was a decision that I made because I felt like I wasn't doing enough work on me and getting to learn, you know, everything about myself. And it was really hard for me because that relationship was so comfortable. You know, and let me step back. Like, this is, like, growing up, okay, basically as a child, I always felt different, You know what I mean? I always felt like, you know, I was always taller than all the other kids. I'm 6 foot tall, so I always, in that way, automatically, I always felt different. You know, my brother had epilepsy, and my parents gave him all the attention because it's what he needed, and I was kind of like pushed in the corner, and I knew that they did the best that they could. So basically, growing up, I felt like I never got any attention. So when I got to the point where I started using, you know, and getting in trouble, that was a way for me to get attention and people to like recognize me, and then that felt good. No matter what I had to do to get that attention, that it felt good. And through, you know, working some steps and doing some things around here, that I can realize that now. Back when, I never realized why I would do all these god-awful things, you know, to get attention. And I mean, it all started off just like stealing, you know, telling lies, and so forth, etc. But I don't know, I was 11 years old when I picked up my first drug. And for me, alcohol is a drug. And I started drinking at 11 years old. And it was about 6 months later, I was already snorting cocaine. And I don't know, it made me feel good. It got me outside of myself. And from there, you know, we all know what we do. We start cutting school, you know. We start sneaking out of the house. And through this whole process, you know, I was in school. I never, you know, I could cut school all the time. My father was, he's also an addict. And at this time, he was also an active addiction. You know, I was very verbally abused as a child, you know. And I always felt, and my mother would come to me with all this, you know, information, like, oh my God, your dad's doing this, doing that. So I always had to, like, felt like I had to, like, keep the family together, too, you know what I mean, and, like, grew up so fast. And I don't know, but anyway, I used, and I used, and I used, and I used. And it got to a point in my life that I just felt like, you know, that I was spiritually dead, emotionally dead, and I just couldn't live the way that I was living anymore. And I was sent to rehab. I think I was about 14 years old. And I wanted this thing, you know what I mean? I came around here, but there was like, there wasn't that many young people back then, you know what I mean? It was like maybe one or two I'd see every now and then. And it was hard for me to relate, you know what I mean? It was hard for me to relate to someone that was like 30 years old and has been using, you know, for what, 15 whatever years, you know? So I thought, well, you know, maybe I don't need this program. And I ended up meeting a man, and I decided that I was going to be a big girl and marry him at 16. And I left the country with this man. And from then, it was just off. You know what I mean? It was on. Using was just, I mean, I used and I used and I used. And, you know, and people enabled me. You know what I mean? He was like my best enabler, just like my mother, you know? And my mother enabled my father all them years to allow him to be the way that he was. She was just as sick as we were, you know, in a lot of ways. Growing up like so fast like that, my little girl is so like hurt. You know what I mean? My little girl, I want to be that little girl. You know what I mean? I want to be that play with them Barbie dolls that I never had an opportunity to play. I'm sorry. And it's like right now in my life, like I can feel God all around me. You know what I mean? Right now, it's like such a blessing. To just be able to know that I don't have to wake up every day and like go cop and like, you know, just to feel better about myself. And it's not even about feeling better about yourself, because you feel like shit. It's just to feed that addiction, you know. And right now in my life, basically, well, I just want to go back. I ended up getting clean in 1996. I left Germany. I lived in Germany for 2 years. I left and I came back to the States. and I used for a couple months, and my bottom was a spiritual bottle. My mother had found a pill of dope in my purse, and she had said to me, "You're either going to go get help, because I had been in the program before, or, you know, get out of my life. I don't want you in my life. I will not see you ruin yourself again." And basically, there was just this overwhelming feeling that I had, and I just knew that I was done, that I was done. I was so beat up. And, you know, we all have, you know, all these nevers, well, I never did this and I never did that. But, you know, like, I see so many people die in this program and think that they can go out there one more time, you know. And it's just, you know, I have dreams today. I have goals, you know, from when I was a little girl, you know. And I know that none of these goals that I have and dreams will never ever be fulfilled unless I ever, you know, unless I stay clean and do the next thing to stay clean and work the steps, you know, and talk with my sponsor. And it's, and you know, I've been struggling lately with self-acceptance. You know, I've been having a really, really hard time accepting me, you know, and I got out of that relationship because I want to learn how to love me. You know what I mean? I want to learn how to know what makes April, April. You know what I mean? So, basically, I got out of this relationship 6 months ago. And I decided, well, okay, I get out of this relationship, so I'm going to fix. You know what I mean? I'm gonna do something else to fix. So I got a job. I said, oh, well, maybe, you know, I've never worked night work before. Maybe I'll do that, you know, and, you know, make more money, and I'll fix and pay my bills off and all the debt that I created because I, you know, buy credit card debt. You know, we use all kind of things around here to get outside ourselves, you know, when you take the drugs away. So, I just lost my train of thought. But anyway, we use all kind of things to get outside ourselves, and basically, I went back. I'm just like out of it, I'm sorry. All I know is like right now in my life, I'm struggling really, really hard, like I said, with self-acceptance and just feeling like I still feel like so different. You know what I mean? I'm 6 foot tall. You know, I see all these little petite girls running around and they're so cute. And, you know, and it's like I have to accept the fact that God made me the way that I am. You know? And God loves me no matter what. And he has brought me this far. You know? And, you know, I'm struggling right now with my sponsor. You know, I believe that people come in your life to meet you from point A to point B, and then they can go out of your life, and they were there for that time to help you. And that's how I feel, how my sponsor is right now, you know, and I think it's time to move on. And, but it's going to be really hard for me to tell her that I need to move on. But going back to the relationship, you know, I talk to people about that, and it's like, I mean, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do was to let that relationship go. You know, that shit was comfortable. You know what I mean? It was comfortable staying in a relationship with someone and basically, you know, stuffing all your feelings down because you could use that person to get outside yourself. You know, and I've done it all around here, you know, the shopping, the feeding my face, the having sex with men, the doing what I need to do to fix April. You know, and like I said, it's not about that no more. It's just really not about that. I work the steps. I go to meetings. I show up for life. You know, a lot of days I don't even want to get out of bed. You know, and to go back to the job that I was talking about, now I just remember what I was talking about. No, I decided that I wanted to work nights. So I got this job working nights. And it was cool at the beginning. It was like a whole change, you know. I needed like a big change in my life. And I was working this job, And I loved it, you know what I mean? It was hard for me to get used to it, but I loved it. And then I used to come home at like 6:30 in the morning and the sun would be beaming in my face and I felt like I was like out like running all night, you know? And that just got to be like just the little things. It was just insanity, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden like all these people I noticed, they were walking around work, drinking water, eating lollipops and shit, all eat up, you know, and it just became a point where there was just like so much insanity going on at my job that I couldn't keep this job. So I was like, okay, let's do another change. Let's quit this job. So I walked out on faith again, and I was like, okay, you know, God has a plan for me. And I walked out of my job. It wasn't the most responsible thing to do, but it's something that I felt like I needed to do. So I walked out of my job, and I was, you know, I just felt like God had my back. He really had my back at that time. And he always has my back, you know, no matter what. So now, right now in my life, I got another job. I really, really like my job. There's a lot of different things that, you know, that I still want to do. You know, and like I said, you know, I still have dreams one day. I want to have a family, you know what I mean? I would love to get married again one day. You know, I always joke around and say, I'm never getting married. I'm never getting married. Oh, my God, I'm never getting married. And, but I will one day. I know I will. And I struggle with that, too, because it's like I just kind of have this relationship. And it's like everybody around me is like, either getting married or they're having babies or they're like getting in these relationships, and I'm like, oh my God, poor me, you know, I'm not in a relationship no more. I'm single for the first time in my whole life. You know, I would jump from relationship to relationship to relationship, and basically we're all just crazy using relationships. Even like in recovery, you know what I mean? It wasn't using, but it was still like all insanity, craziness. I don't know. I'm just so, so grateful to be a part of this program and to have so many loving and caring people in my life. And, you know, I think about a lot of times, you know, youth in recovery. And I'm so grateful that I got this program. You know what I mean? Like, I got into this program at such a young age, you know. Because I'm growing up in this program, and I'm growing up in this program. I mean, I was 17 when I came into this program, and it just feels so good. I mean, it's like the words, like, I have a hard time sometimes expressing the way that I feel, and I've always felt like I've never been the type to, like, be a speaker, because I have a hard time expressing, you know, the way that I feel. For a long time, you know, I just never knew what I was feeling. I just knew that I hurt. You know, so I don't know, it was just so crazy how that woman asked me to do this meeting, and I believe that, like I said, it was God, you know, working through that lady and asking me to do the meeting. But I just want to thank everybody for allowing me to share.
All right. I'd like to thank April and Jen. When we got started, I announced that it was a 75-minute meeting, and we did start a couple minutes late, but, yeah, it was about 30 minutes for each and then whatever for miscellaneous. They do allow for time for people to come up to the microphone if they care to for the next few minutes until our time runs out. And the only guideline that I have here is before we open the meeting up to those who would like to share, it says to remember to come up to the microphone one at a time. And I was at a meeting earlier where it was kind of confusing how that works. So if there are people that want to come up to the microphone, we could just form a little line here and take up the next 15 minutes, 20 minutes, that would be great. So is there anyone who wants to volunteer first and then we can do the line thing? Come on, sweetie. All right, thanks.
I'm Worthwhile, Jaren. I'm an addict. I'm seeing a lot of heads in here that I've known for a long time, and it's a good thing. My home group is Good Stuff in Bethesda as well, Friday nights, NA. And my clean date is April the 13th, 1985, so today is my 17th anniversary.
Oh.
I related a lot. I was in I worked at nights for a long time too. I was doing I was working in clubs for a long time, and I needed to get out because I needed a change, and a lot of the old behaviors had to stop because I wasn't growing and I wasn't going anywhere, and I was looking for quick fixes in a big way too. And my psychiatrist and my sponsor, while I was doing the step work, was suggesting that I drop a lot of my comfortabilities, a lot of the things that was helping me to feel more comfortable inside of my skin. And it's unnerving sometimes, man. You know, not dating, not doing anything, hanging out with a lot of people, and being vulnerable with people, and reaching out to people. And sometimes it's reciprocated, and sometimes it is not. And when it's not, sometimes I get touchy and I apologize, you know, for being touchy. And, anyways, Jen, kick ass, and I don't know. I got a lot of hope today, and there's a lot of change in, and part of me feels very good and comfortable, and part of me feels sad because I waited so long to make so many changes, and sometimes I feel like I robbed myself to a certain degree. But the truth is maybe at that point I was just too full of fear to let go, to really just let go and turn my will and my life over to the care of God as we understand Him. And the part that I never locked on to is the care. His care, my higher power's care, was far greater than my care for myself. My care got me locked up for years. My care got me, people would attempt to take my life. You know, I attempted to take my life many times. Today I've got a chance. As long as I don't use, I have a chance. And as long as I'm open to the people that are around me, I can develop the relationships I always wanted, you know, not the ones I always needed. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm an addict called Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
I was I was very moved by what you were talking about. I can really relate. I'm 22. I have 5.5 years clean.
All right.
I got clean in high school, and I was very lucky. In my area, there were tons of young people with lots of clean time, and I was immediately sucked in after my 7 months of court stipulation that saved my life, and I robbed myself out of the joys and the learning of the first 3 or 4 years of my recovery because I was focusing on the differences. That I was young, and I can't relate to these people that are 50 years old, or, you know, that used for longer than I was alive, you know. How can I relate to that? And I robbed myself because I'm gay and I can't relate to straight people, you know, or because I'm thin and I'm not manly like the rest of the men, you know what I'm saying? Like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, the list went on and on and on. Why I'm different from you, why I'm different from her, and why is she so pretty, or why is, you know, why doesn't he give me attention? Why doesn't, you know, focusing on everything around me except myself. And then, when I finally learned that it's not about me, and I started to get to see a little bit of that bigger picture, and I became responsible in my life, and I let go of trying to be the typical 20-year-old, or, you know, and go out and have fun with people that weren't in recovery, and do all sorts of crazy things that really weren't spiritual, that I didn't believe in while I was still people-pleasing, and doing all that, you know, I got into a relationship, and I'm still in that relationship, and I can really relate to you. And as soon as I started to like jump onto the cloud of like finding out who I am and finding my place in Narcotics Anonymous and in the world and whatnot, I moved to a different area, got into a new relationship, and, you know, didn't kiss Ina goodbye, but definitely put it on the back burner. And one thing about that, and what I found out was that I was still trying to be normal. That's my pattern. I want to be normal. Most of the time, I can look at my life and say, I'm so blessed that I'm like here at a convention where there's 7,000 recovering addicts. Like Usman said, this is like an addict's heaven. You know, like I'm so blessed, and I go through my life and I have shelter, I have money, I can go buy the shoes in the window. You know, I can do those things today and I can budget and I'm responsible, I have a relationship with my family. But then there's this part of me that just kind of like goes and like wants to be normal and wants to have normal conversations with people and wants to go and hang out at the bar. Like I smoke, and at work there's nowhere to smoke except at the bar. You know, so every day I go and I sit at that bar and I smoke my cigarette 10 times a day or whatever, however many cigarettes I smoke. And that's like me trying to be normal. And it's sick, you know, and it's not who I am, you know. It's not where I belong. And the point is that my complacency and my desire to be someone that I'm not, and my fear of relating to people who aren't like me. Never realized that I already had it. And, you know, like, I'm saying this now, but, like, on Monday, I'm probably going to start doing the same old thing. And that's all right. Like, I'm working with my sponsor. Like, I have a network, you know, and I do fall in it, and it does catch me. And it's really cool. But like, you know, and the other thing is that there's, when I go to meetings and I share, like people relate to me, you know? I'm young, you know? Why are the older people relating to me? Because it doesn't make a difference. We all have the same disease. Mm-hmm. All have the same disease. That's what matters. That's what we share about. It's the feelings, you know? All right, that's all I have to share. Thanks for letting
Thanks.
Me share.
My name's Akeem, I'm an addict.
Hi, Akeem.
Thanks, April and Jen.
Jen,
for sharing. As it may be obvious, I'm not a youth. I walked in, I gave my ticket to the fashion show to my son. My son is with me, he's 23, he's a youth. I have four other children, all my children are addicts. I've been an addict, like the young man said, longer than most of y'all been alive. But y'all been cleaner longer than I have, you know. And it seemed like I always walk into a meeting where some good young people are sharing, and I'd be saying, damn, why not bring my daughter? You know what I mean? My daughter should have came with me tonight. And like I'm saying, I'm sitting in the chair saying, I should have kept the ticket and went to the fashion show and had him come here and listen to the other young people, you know. But, you know, God knows what he's doing. I heard this young lady say that, or someone say that the old people say that young people should be happy because they get clean early and don't have to experience what we experience. And then I like the reply that she said, the young person said, well, we get so long to stay high, you know. And for a minute, that sounded all right. But the truth is, I have a lot of buddies that God allowed to live. I'm 56, and I got buddies here with me now my age and some at home. And one thing we all lament is our misspent youth, you know. There's no way of getting around it, you know. I don't care how high you got, you know. It's just too much waste, it's too much wreckage. And when you have young people in your life, your children and your grandchildren, it's just a lot. So you really are fortunate, you know. And if you're a newcomer, if you're old head and you got more clean time than I got, keep it. And if you're new, you know, stay.
Right.
Thanks for letting
Thanks
me
share.
Hi, my name's Erica. I'm an addict.
Hi, Erica.
I remember when I first surrendered a little bit and like decided that I was serious and maybe I wasn't all that different from everybody else. And I shared about the last time that I used. And after the meeting, I got all these people coming up to me, like, "Oh, you're so lucky. You're so young." And I have this one 57-year-old man, love him very much, and he comes up to me and he goes, "That sucks for you." He's like, "The party's over. That sucks for you." And I was like, I was kind of like surprised. It was a little shocking. And he was like, "You know what though? People that aren't addicts and look back, like you were talking about how people, you know, like their misspent youth. People that aren't addicts look back on when they were our age and they're like, man, that shit I did sucked." And like they think it was misspent too. And one of the things I struggle with is I was like, I'm so young, I can't, you know, I can't really be an addict. They don't happen until they're older. Like, you know, that bug doesn't bite them until they're older. And, yeah. And then I realized that if someone comes into these, and I was like, you know, am I an addict? I was going through all that, and I suddenly realized that if I came in here, someone said to me, if you're questioning, then you probably are.
Right. Right.
Because the point is that people that aren't addicts don't think about it. Like, it's not an issue. I mean, yeah, you know, you got those people that are like, they're drinking and you're like, "Oh, you're such an alcoholic." But nobody takes it seriously. If you, like, that's one thing that really helped me so much. And she just told me, if you're questioning, then you don't need to anymore because that's your answer. And it's so, I remember in the area that I first got clean, I have 8 months and two, I have 7 months, and I'll have 8 months in 2 days, hopefully.
All right.
Thank you. And in that first area, there's no one under the age of 30.
Oh, wow.
Literally. And in fact, you walk into a meeting and you're like, is this a men's meeting? Because there's also no women. But, and then I came, and I finally had started to get settled a little bit, and then I was moving. I was going to college, and I was terrified. And I came into the area that I'm in now, in Jersey, and I fell in love. I absolutely fell in love with, like, the energy of people that were there. I got my first sponsor, who was a miracle in my life, and came into my life in a very perfect timing kind of way. And I, with all of the people that I've met, which are, like, people like you and everyone that like that's in this room, it's just so special that we can be in this room together, and that there is, like, this is the first convention I've stayed at the whole time, that there is like a youth and recovery meeting. And like, I think it's really cool that people that aren't youth are here, because it's like, it's not just about if you are a youth, it's just youth in recovery. And I just think this whole thing is absolutely amazing. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm a grateful act. My name is Dave.
Hi, Dave.
And I'm 23 years old, and today, April 13th, I celebrate 2 years clean.
All right.
And safe to say, I never thought I was going to make it this far. You know, if you started from the beginning, I made my first meeting in the other fellowship, October 13th, 1992. Mm. I was 13 years old. Mm. And I've been around these rooms in and out ever since then. I too come from Jersey. My home group is Thursday Night Living Clean Group at the 24 Club of Princeton, New Jersey. And, you know, this is what I wanted to say. I wanted to say that young people can stay clean. It is possible. I walked into the rooms of my last rehab, Discovery House in Marlborough, New Jersey, April 13th of 2000. And I walked into the rooms with, the same day, this guy named Wayne Garrett. Okay, and we went through the whole stages of rehab together. You know, from our orientation, being on blackout, into phase one, into phase two, into phase three, okay, until 6 months later we were done, right? And, you know, tonight I celebrate 2 years clean, and 3 months ago they found Wayne Garrett dead, beat to death in the crack projects of Asbury Park, okay? And, you know, so I don't celebrate my 2 years for me, you know? I celebrate for him, you know? And I celebrate for Pat Hansinger and Craig Wisniewski and Rajinder Kumar and my friend Joe Schaefer. Those are the five people that have died in the last 2 years since I completed Discovery House. Five people have died, you know? My friend Joe Schaefer was 19. He died of a heroin overdose, okay? My friend Pat Hansinger was 18. He also died of a heroin overdose. Craig Wisniewski was 23, also a heroin overdose. This disease does not discriminate by age or race or gender or sexual preference. It doesn't matter how much money you have or what God you choose to pray to. You know, and if life had any semblance of being fair, I would have died a long time ago. And the fact that I didn't means that I have some work to do, because I'm here for a reason, you know, and somebody here tonight needed to hear something I had to say. you know, so this is a special day, you know, and I said those names to remind me that there are still people out there to this day dying from the disease of addiction. And those of us that are fortunate enough to be here tonight have a responsibility to everybody else coming in the door behind us to change and to grow and to be there for other people, you know? So, you know, it feels good. It feels good to know that I have the rest of my life ahead of me, you know? Thanks.
Thanks for sharing. All right. Thank you, everyone who participated.